night. So let me get into this here. Let me tell you about Bob and Sarah, who were not known to be good friends, good neighbors, you know, and they knew that. They knew that, you know, that something had to change. So when they saw a moving van next door, they thought, you know, we're going to do better this time. We're going to try harder. So they made a pie, and they walked it over to their new neighbors and introduced themselves. And it kind of got awkward because the lady explained, she said, thanked them for the pie, but explained, you know, we're not moving in. We're actually moving out. We've lived here for 8 years. So my question, how good are you at being a friend? Are you a good friend? And what does that look like? Since the pandemic a couple years ago, what I read, the American social life is experiencing a pronounced decline. A study that came out in May 2021, American Perspective Survey, finds that Americans report having fewer close friendships than they once did. Talking to their friends less, relying less on their friends I don't know why all this happened, but something's changed. They go back to 1990, only 3% of people reported having no close friends. Only 3%. But in 2021, it was 31 years later, that number has risen to 12%. 12% of Americans say they have no close friends. Even on the positive end, in 1990, 33% said they had 10 or more close friends. 30 years ago, 33% said 10 or more close friends. And today, that number is down to 13%. Something's changing. What's going on here? Some of the explanations they give, people are marrying later and moving around more. Maybe that's keeping people from being connected and making deep friendships. Parents spend more time with their children than previous generations, which you would think is that's a good thing. You know, family time, but one of the negatives of that is they're making less room for friends. More time for family, that's great. Less room for friends. Another explanation they give is because people are working more and traveling more. Like everything has taking a greater priority in your life than friends. I mean, friends are great, but friends have become secondary to all these other things. And they say among seniors that it's even worse. Nearly 31% of seniors say it has been at least 5 years since they have met a new friend. So when you get older, I mean, your friends, they're established. So there's less connecting points for new friendships, but older people have a hard time making new friends. We're set in our ways, maybe. I don't know. But two things from all this that stand out. One is we need friends. It's important. And the other thing that stands out, we're not good at it. Maybe we got to figure something out here. Maybe we got to change something here. One survey that came out, a health insurer found that 54% of adults feel like no one knows them very well. I mean, basically, we're doing life all alone, which is so weird. And what does God have to say about this? And surprisingly, God has a lot to say about this. Throughout the Bible puts a great emphasis on the importance of friendship, and specifically the book of Proverbs. We've been going through the Proverbs for several weeks now, and that's the subject that I want to deal with today. Hugh Black, he says this, "The book of Proverbs might almost be called a treatise of friendship. There is no book, even in classical literature, which so exalts the idea of friendship and is so anxious to have it truly valued and carefully kept." That right there excites me. Like, we got some great stuff here in the book of Proverbs that talks about this issue here. And I would tell you, it's almost overwhelming. I feel a little overwhelmed today here. So we go through Proverbs here, and what Proverbs teaches us is that there's something profoundly wise about pursuing friendships and something very foolish about trying to do life alone, isolating yourself from everybody else. Men, okay, men are really bad at this. Father's Day was just last week. Here we go again, guys. Okay, so Proverbs has more to say on the topic of friendship than other than that we just need them. It tells us how to choose friends and how to be a good friend and the value that we ought to place on friendships. And I want to begin here with just my first point here. True friends are sweet, okay? Just take that. Look at this verse, Proverbs 27, verse 9. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from earnest counsel. Think about the sweetness of a friend. Think about the idea that came to me is you're going through life. You see some fruit on the tree or fruit on the vine or, you know, a strawberry in the field. You know, you see this here, and it just, like, makes your day because you just know it's full of flavor. I see friendship is something like that. God put people in our life to add flavor to our life, to add sweetness to our life. Now, I read this like a cookie. Think about a cookie. Friendship is like the sugar in a cookie. And you think about what the sugar does to a cookie. I mean, can you imagine a cookie without sugar, first of all? Cookies without sugar, nasty. But can you imagine a cookie that you just sprinkle some sugar on top? No other sugar, just sugar on top. That doesn't sound very appealing either. No, the sugar has to go deep. It has to be baked in. That's what friendship is. Friendship is when the friendship is baked in. It goes deep. Real friendship is baked in, goes deep. Friendship is measured by the true friends baked into your life, not the so-called friends that are sprinkled on top, okay? So some definitions of friendship that I have. A friend is somebody who multiplies our joys and divides our grief. That's a true friend right there. A friend is someone who understands our silence. You know, there's times you just don't want to talk. Your friend gets that. They understand that. A friend is someone who comes in when everybody else is going out. They stick with you. They're there for you. So they're sweet. Second point I want to make here, true friends are important. How important is it to have friends? Rubel Shelley, he quotes a scientific study. This is very interesting here. It showed that people without social and emotional support are more than twice as likely to die following a heart attack as people with caring friends. I mean, it's, your friends are they keep you going. You know, when your body's breaking down, our culture is losing its sense of community. Too many of us are pulling back into shells of isolation. We are losing the capacity to care for one another. None of this is good, and this is not the will of God. God didn't make us to live this way. One study out of Michigan said that the lack of social relationships is statistically just as dangerous as smoking. You ever hear that before? The lack of social relationships is statistically just as dangerous as smoking, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, the lack of exercise. Think of how important, you know, all the things that we've heard. And while cigarette smoking, for example, was related to several diseases, lack of friendships was tied to a much wider range of diseases, according to a study out of Michigan. In other words, friendships are life-saving. That's how important friends are. One of the greatest, deepest needs of the human heart is for friends. And why is that? Why are friends so important? One is because they comfort us when we need to be comforted, and they counsel us when we need to be counseled. We need friends who strengthen us. We need friends who pray for us. We need friends who bless us, who love us, who encourage us, who put hope in our life. This is why we need friends. So you look at Proverbs 17, verse 10. It says, "Do not forsake your friend." Just camp out on that right there. Don't forsake your own friend. And then he goes on, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a friend nearby than a brother far away. So right there, better is a friend. And Proverbs 18, verse 24, look at this. A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. A friend who sticks closer than a brother. What's interesting to me about these two verses here is they suggest that friendship is in some ways more valuable than family. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Better is a friend nearby than a brother that's far away. I mean, you think about it, friends can be more important than family, more valuable than family. That's very interesting when you think about Hebrew literature that exalts family. So family is very, very important. But the point that Solomon's making here, friendship is very, very important as well. Friends can bring things into your life that family can't bring into your life. Friends can do things for you that your marriage can't do for you. God puts friends in our lives. God puts family in your life. And God's word says we need to be faithful to both. We need to understand the importance of both. God uses friends to bless us in ways that family can't. Family is important, but friends are so important too. Third point I want you to see here, true friends are chosen. Let's camp out on this one here. This is interesting. Proverbs 13, verse 20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the friend of fools shall be destroyed. Not saying that God will destroy you, but you're going to destroy yourself if you walk with fools here. Okay, so let me see if I can illustrate this here. How many of us, we had parents who freaked out about the people we were hanging out with, right? You remember that as a kid? Like, you want to go to, you know, Johnny's house, and mom said, you can't go to Johnny's house. And you're like, why can't I go? I want to go to Johnny's. No. Over, you can go to Bobby's house, but you can't go to Johnny's house. And we didn't understand. We didn't get that. Why, you know, I want to go here. And our parents put up these guardrails, put up these rules, and said no. Now, we didn't understand that as kids, but when we became parents, we understood that, didn't we? Like, no, you are not. Over my dead body are you going to go to that house, you know? Now, why is that? Because we understand the influence that our friends can have on us. Matter of fact, our greatest regrets typically aren't with us hanging out with our enemies. They come from us hanging out with our friends. And don't want to take you back, you know, memory lane to the bad things you used to do, but can you think of, you know, some of the, it's because of Jerry. You know, it was because of Jeff. You know, my friends, so they get all the blame. But, you know, our friends, this is where we pick up bad behaviors. This is where we pick up addictive habits from our friends. So our friends' influence determine, a lot of ways, the direction and the quality of our lives. That can work for you, but that can work against you, too. This is why we need to choose wise friends, godly friends, good friends, not foolish friends, not bad friends. We have a choice. You don't have a choice with your family. You're stuck with your family. You're stuck with your neighbors. You're stuck with your coworkers, your classmates, but your friends, your deep friends, you have a choice. You need to make a choice. And that choice you make is so important. Our friends shape us, they influence us, they impact us, they influence your style, your sense of humor, your desires, your values, your habits, your outlook on life comes from your friends. Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Good friends sharpen us. Bad friends make us dull. They don't sharpen us. They make us useless. 1 Corinthians 15 says, bad company corrupts good character. Good friends transform us. Bad friends deform us. I'm going to throw this in. See what you can do with this here. This is a little fish story here. Fish swim in schools. You understand fish swim in schools. And years ago, there was a study trying to figure out why fish swim in schools. And I read this like this is a true story. And part of me, I'm like, I don't know if this is true, but I'm thinking this is a true story. They isolated a part of the brain that causes the fish to swim in schools. So they took one of the fish and they did a partial lobotomy on this fish. And then they put the fish back in the water, and sure enough, the fish, you know, it could still swim, but it swam alone. It didn't swim in the school anymore. Worked. But what happened? All the fish that were swimming in the school started following that fish. The fish with no brain. That's what they were doing. The fish were following the fish with no brain. We, as people, we're doing the same thing. We follow people brainlessly. And the think about that. The peer pressure, the influence of peer pressure, the negative influence it can have on you. The thought here is we can choose friends. Knowing that it's in me to follow, then choose friends worthy of following. Choose friends that are going to lead me the right way. Choose friends who are wise, who can make a good impact on my life. Because my natural nature is to follow something, follow someone. Make sure I need to choose, you need to choose, follow that person that's going to help me be better. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but a friend of fools shall be destroyed. So this leads me to some things, when you think about the friend of fools, some things you need to be aware of. And here Proverbs talks a lot about this, some things to be aware of. Let me take you through several of the scriptures here. Proverbs 12, verse 26, one who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Do you want to go astray? Do you like going astray? Stop following the wicked. That's the point of the proverb here. Don't follow that person. Somebody who's wicked is going to hurt you. They're not going to help you. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with a wrathful man. Now I'm very mindful here that Jesus was a friend of sinners, and you and I need to befriend people and love people. We need to love the sinner. I get that, but we also deep friends need to be wise friends, godly friends, helpful friends. Have acquaintances, make a difference. Help somebody who is not living for the Lord. By all means, help them, bless them. But be careful about your deep friends. Make no friendship with a man given to anger. It says in Proverbs 24, do not envy wicked men. Do not desire their company. You don't want to hang out with certain people who you know are just going to destroy you. Another proverb I'll give you, Proverbs 29, verse 5. The man who flatters his friend spreads a net for his feet. What is it? Spreads a net for his feet. He's laying a trap for you, a snare. The person who flatters, and Proverbs talks a lot about somebody who just gives meaningless flatter all the time. They're just telling you what you want to hear, but they're not telling you what's helpful. I read this about flattery. Flattery is a lot like perfume. You can sniff it, but don't swallow it, okay? So I thought that was good. Some categories of friends I would tell you to be aware of, to watch out for. Faucet friends, that's on again, off again friends. They love you, they hate you, they hate you, they love you. That's not in your outline, by the way. Everybody's looking there. It's not there. But faucet friends, be careful here. Fake friends, they fake you out right when you need them. They're not there. That's a fake friend. Fair-weathered friends. People who love to laugh with you, love to play with you, love to have a great time with you, but when you're hurting, where are they? They're nowhere to be found. And I wrote down opportunistic friends. People, they're just using you. Couple verses on that. Proverbs 14, verse 20, the poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. You know, if somebody wins the lottery, all of a sudden everybody loves them, you know? Proverbs 19, verse 4, wealth brings many friends, but a poor man, friends desert him. The principle of that, what I really see here, is prosperity begets friends. You get money, you have friends. But it's adversity that proves friends. When you're going through the hard time, you discover who is really there for you, who really loves you, who really loves you. B.J. Thomas, he used to sing a song, using things and loving people, that's the way it ought to be. But because loving things and using people only leads to misery. You remember this? That was an old song. But there's people out there who just want to use you. Beware. Be careful. And a list of other friends, I have some of these in the outline here. People who gossip. I don't have time to go through every verse here. But gossipers, people who are short-tempered, those who are alcoholics or gluttons, people who are rebellious. Proverbs 24 talks about that. What does it say, Proverbs 24? Fear the Lord and the King, my son, and do not join with the rebellious officials. Do not. It says do not. It's just going to hurt you. It's just going to hurt you. Liars, people who are untrustworthy. You don't want to make deep friends with people who are going to lie to you. Those given to violence, flatterers. I wrote down obnoxious people. People who are obnoxious and inconsiderate. I used to be one of these people. I hope I'm not anymore. Look at some of these verses. Proverbs 25, verse 20. Like one who takes away a garment on a cold day, or like vinegar poured on soda, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. I'm going to give that to you in the New Living Translation. It says, singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in cold weather or pouring vinegar on a wound, salt in a wound. Somebody who's, you're hurting and somebody comes in wanting to cheer you up, which, I mean, that seems like a good thing, but they won't shut up. And you got to know what's appropriate. You got to know there's a time to leave the person alone. They need to hurt. Proverbs 27, verse 14, if a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, before he's had his coffee, okay, it's taken as a curse. You're not helping the person, you're cursing the person. I wrote down some examples of obnoxious or inconsiderate people. Maybe it's the class clown. Are you the class clown? Maybe that's the problem here. Are the guy who's constantly giving advice, he's not listening to your issue. You want somebody who listens to you, but they're not listening to you. They're just trying to tell you how to fix it, you know? Or it could be the person who's just constantly giving you scripture. Is the super spiritual person? That sounds like a good thing, but sometimes a friend just needs somebody who listens, somebody who's listening to them. Or the person who makes it all about them. Here, you're kind of crying on somebody's sleeve, and you're talking about an issue that's important to you, and somehow the conversation gets turned, and now you're talking about them. You're not talking about you anymore. You're talking about them. The person always turns it on them. Don't be that person. Don't be the obnoxious person, the inconsiderate person. I talked about opportunistic people, and then people who don't know their boundaries. I want to talk about that one too. Proverbs 25, verse 17. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. I felt like you need to see that. You know, that's what's it say here? Now, we need space. You need to understand. You need space. I need space. Everybody needs space. A good friend understands that. Benjamin Franklin, he says, guests are like fish. They stink after 3 days. I thought that was profound. We need to be sensitive to wearing out our welcome. But I want to balance that. You know, boundaries, you got to understand boundaries. You got to understand there's a time I need to leave my friend alone. That would be a good thing for our friendship. I need to leave them alone. There's also a time I need to get in their business. And that takes me to the next point. True friends are candid and frank and brutally honest. Proverbs 27 says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Do you got a friend like that? Somebody who will tell you to your face, you're being stupid. You're doing something stupid. Because we all have blind spots, don't we? You can't see your stupidness. But your friend, praise God for friends who can see the stupid things you're doing, who can protect you from yourself. And nobody likes to be rebuked. But when it comes from somebody who loves you, somebody who knows your character, And you know they love the Lord and they love you, and it hurts what they're saying, but praise God they're saying it. Praise God they care enough about me to say it. George MacDonald, he expresses this. He says, there is a certain niceness to a friendship where I can be, as they say, myself. And don't we all like that? I just want to be myself. You make me comfortable enough where I can be myself. But he goes on and says, but what I really need are relationships in which I will be encouraged to become better than myself. Isn't that a good friend, a true friend who helps you be better than yourself? Proverbs 24, verse 26 says, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. An honest answer is a sign of true friendship. Friends tell each other truths even when they're painful. Real friends are honest with each other. They give meaningful input. They sharpen. They make us wise. They make us better. They shoot straight because they don't want to see their friends ensnared later on. They want their friends to be free from sin and free from hurt and free from pain. And you think about why. Why are they rebuking you? Why are they being so honest with you? And it's because they care about you so much. They know if you fall into sin, you're going to hurt. And because they love you so much, that's going to hurt them. It's a very selfish thing, really, why they're rebuking you. Because they don't want you to get hurt because they don't want to hurt with you. So they're trying to protect you. That's a true friend. True friends are constant, faithful, loyal. It says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loves at all times. At all times. Even the times when you're not really lovable. And don't we all have those times too? The times that, you know, I don't know if you're whining or just being selfish or whatever. And they love you through that time. We all have moments when we're unlovable. And they love you through the unlovable times. Through thick and thin, they're loving you. That's a true friend. They're loving not because it's their duty, but it's because they have chosen. You are worth it. You are worth the investment. And another thing I want you to see here, true friends are few. Yeah. And I read this, I thought this is so true. The average person today is working harder at collecting friends than cultivating friends. How many friends you got on Facebook? Don't answer that out loud. I mean, all I know about 90% of these people that I have on Facebook, all I know is where they went on vacation. I don't know anything else about them. I know what they went out to eat last night, you know, but they're not there for me. They're not going to be there for me. And so, but we live in this technical world, technology, where all this technology, where true friendships have been replaced by friends on a computer who are not true friends, not real friends. They're not there for you. Drew Hunter says friendship should be more like a submarine holding few and going deep, but we've made it more like a cruise ship filled with a lot of nice people whom we don't know very well at all. The average American has 500 to 2,000 acquaintances, but only 4 or 5 real friends, true friends. If you got a real friend, a true friend, you cherish that. You embrace that. You thank God for that. But don't trade those true friends for a bunch of shallow acquaintances. We all have lots of acquaintances, but very few genuine friends. Genuine friends cost. They cost time. It's an investment, but it's worth it. True friendships take work. So work at it. And true friends take grace. Listen to this here, Psalm 17, verse 9. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. I want you to think about this verse with me here. Whoever covers an offense. Have you ever offended somebody? Has anybody ever offended you? Okay, and it happens. I mean, we live in a world now where people get offended about everything. But what about if it's a close friend, somebody that you have developed deep roots with, and all of a sudden something happens either from you or from them. Something happens. They disappoint you with what they said or what they did. Or you disappoint them with what you said or what you did. And how do you recover from that? And this tells me here, whoever covers an offense, there's got to be grace. We got to forgive, maybe a rebuke, but then and correct, and then love and restore and heal and cover that offense. It says here, but whoever repeats a matter separates close friends. Do you keep bringing it up? You going to bring this up, you know, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now? You bring it back up, and you bring it back up, and you bring it back up. That's not what friends do. No, you love them, you forgive them, and you forget about it. And you move on, you remember that my friendship is so much more important than this little issue. It could be a big issue, but there's got to be grace. There's got to be grace. True friendship takes work, it takes grace, and it takes time. Aristotle says the desire for friendship comes quickly, but friendship doesn't come quickly. A true, deep, meaningful friendship is built over years of working together, doing life together, maybe going on a mission trip, building a church together, going through small groups, Bible studies, raising our children together. I think, you know, it comes from working like on a team together. When you get to know each other, you get to know the good and the bad, and you choose, you consciously choose, I'm going to love this person. I'm going to invest in this person. This person is worth it. I need this person. Let me get to the back page here in Proverbs 18. Once again, it says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I just want to ask you, do you have a friend like that? A friend who is there through thick and thin. A friend who has always been there for you. Who sticks closer than a brother. Do you have a friend like that? And I hope that you know, if you are a Christian, you have a friend like that. I look at that verse and I just see Jesus all over it. Jesus is a friend who loves you and sticks with you. A brother can cry with you, but Jesus can wipe away your tears. A brother can pray with you, but Jesus can answer your prayers. A brother can walk through a storm with you. Jesus can calm that storm. A brother can die for you. Jesus rose for you. A brother can carry your body to the grave. Jesus is going to carry your soul to the throne of God. A brother can stand for you, Jesus. A brother can stand with you, by you. Jesus stands for you. John 15 says, greater love hath no man than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friend. It was said by Jesus, and it was done by Jesus. He laid down his life for his friends. And get this here, in John 15, verse 15, I no longer call, this is Jesus again, he says, I no longer call you servants, I call you my friend. I know that Jesus was talking to his disciples, you know, 2,000 years ago, but you and I are his disciples today. I want you to understand Jesus is saying those same words to you. And although he is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of the Lords, and we live to build his kingdom here on this earth, we are his servants. And I take pride in being his servant. But he says, I'm his friend. I mean, that just brings me to my knees. You are his friend. He loves you that much, and he gave his life for you. Jesus demonstrated on the cross, he is our greatest friend, our most faithful friend, most loyal friend who sticks with us. He's our wisest friend. He's given us his spirit to live inside of us, to guide us with wisdom. He's our most candid friend. He tells us what we need to hear. What a friend we have in Jesus. In John 13, he says this, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. The way Jesus has loved you, you take that and you love the people around you. You become a friend to them. The application here, just a few things and then we'll be done here. First of all, be a friend. Be a friend. It's so easy to wait for somebody to come into your life, somebody to invest in you. And what this is telling me here, we need to make the first move a lot of times. We need to invest in other people. You think that's what God did? God, it says in 1 John 4, we love because he first loved us. And there's a lot of people in this world who need some love. They need a friend. You love them. We love because he first loved us. We love our friends. In Luke 6, verse 31, do to others as you would have them do to you. That's the golden rule. Do to others as you would have them do to you. I like this. Dale Carnegie, he says, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can make in 2 years by trying to get people to be interested in you. If we would just be interested in other people, friendship would happen naturally. But because we're selfish or self-absorbed, we're wanting everybody to be interested in us. I read this. I went out to find a friend, but I could not find a friend there. I went out to be a friend, and friends were everywhere. So first of all, be a friend. Work on that this week. Find somebody who needs a friend and be a friend for them. You make the first move. Secondly, move friendship up on your priority list. I really feel like I need to talk to men on this one because I think women got this. Women, they're on the phone all day long. I mean, they got thousands of friends, you know. Men, we're not good at this. So I think we got to make it more of an effort where to prioritize how important friendship is. Yes, your health is important. Yes, your family is important. Yes, your work is important. Everything's important. Make sure friendship is not made a secondary issue for you. Realize how important friendship is. And take some time to invest in it, all right? Now, I give you some ideas. Go to Sunday school. I think it's a great place to get to know some guys. Get involved a small group, a three-thirds group. Sunday night softball, which we're not doing this week, but you know, Sunday night softball is just a great time to just relax and get to know some people. Last week there was just a bunch of guys out there I didn't know, and by the end of the night, we're making fun of all of them, you know? It's a bonding thing. Number three here, receive rebuke as a sign of true friendship. I mean, if the person truly loves you, if the person loves the Lord and they love you and they care about you, quit being turned off by it and realize this is an act of love. But you know, somebody's blunt with you, somebody's honest with you, and you write them off and you walk away from them. And I'm thinking there's a lot of people that we've walked away too soon. You walked away too soon. It was a knee-jerk reaction, and you should have received that rebuke instead of being offended by that rebuke. Think about that. Just humble, if we could humble ourselves to receive rebukes from people who love the Lord and people who love us, that might go a long way. Once again, in Proverbs 27, it says, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Yeah. Wounds from a friend is a lot better than flattery from somebody who doesn't know you. Number four, follow Jesus' example. Love one another as he has loved us. Let's do it like Jesus. And fifth, and this is very important to me, let Jesus be your closest friend. And this was, I think this was huge in my life when Jesus went from being somebody that we talked about at church to being somebody I talked to every day. When I knew that Jesus was listening to me, I understood that Jesus was walking with me. A daily life with Jesus Christ. He became not only my Savior, he became my best friend. I want that for you. If you don't have that already, I think a lot of us are walking with Jesus and talking to Jesus every day. And a lot of us, that's just something out there, something so abstract, I don't understand it, don't get that. I want you to get that. I want you to understand that. And maybe to do that, maybe you just need to isolate yourself a little bit from this world, just a little bit, not too long, but just enough where you spend some time with Jesus, some real meaningful time with Jesus, and allow Jesus to be your best friend. Your Lord, your Savior, and your friend. Does that sound good to anybody? Does that sound like something you might want to do, something you need? One more thing I just want to get in here. I should have said this a while back when we were talking about, you know, all the things to beware of. Beware of people who do this, people who do that, people who do this, people who do that. But the other side of that, you don't do that. Don't be that person, okay? Don't be that person. If nothing else that we learn from Proverbs, learn that. I want to be a good friend. I want you to be good friends. I want us to do it the way Jesus did it. The world needs some good friends. Let's strive to be those people.